Cinefile. Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and thank you for joining me for this month's Cinefile. And we have two films with French connections, The Mountain and The Halt.
Take one. Ça tourne. Cinefile, RFI's movie pick.
Well, French actor Denis Lavant is in The Mountain, directed by US filmmaker Rick Alverson. The Mountain hit January's Sundance Festival earlier this year and released in France and the US in July. It's a haunting piece, strong on atmosphere and directed with attention to all things cinematic by Rick Alverson, not least of all Ed Hopper-style compositions and a passé colour palette to fade away the very purpose of life, it seems. It stars Jeff Goldblum as a suave, ageing champion of lobotomy in 1950s America when the medical tide is changing. Brain-numbing drugs are becoming more popular rather than partial brain removal. Dr. Wallace Fiennes is supported in this strange film by Andy, a lost grown-up orphan played by Ty Sheridan, whose German ex-skating champion father dies on the ice from a heart attack and his mother has been awayed, as it were, by none other than Dr. Wallace himself.
I'm Dr. Fiennes.
I'm about to go out on the road. You know what I could use? Somebody to give me a hand taking photos. See this woman? The woman's in distress. I'm going to help her. Now we take her back here.
Is that what you did to my mother?
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise.
Why?
Where do they go?
Where's who go?
People. After you change them.
The other side of the story, as it were, is Jack, a semi-recluse father played by Denis Lavant. He describes his mercurial character better than I can.
J'ai vraiment appréhendé sur le terrain, si je puis dire.
I really grasped my character once I was on the ground. I'd broadly read the script that described this strange person as the father of a young woman who's going to be lobotomized. He's rather weird, extremely alcoholic, sort of desperate, a pathetic clown who lives alone. He's separated from his wife. He lives with his daughter, who's not well, in a beautifully designed bungalow in the mountain. And he runs a sort of clandestine therapy group, a sort of meditation with music. And at the same time, he's a kind of mystical theorist. He's nostalgic for a lost world where hermaphrodites live, a world which could still exist in the mountain. I really enjoyed this role. Rick Alverson had me play mostly in French, thank goodness. Jack is French. I wouldn't have been able to do it in English. He lives in the US, but has never fully adapted to his surroundings.
Mais sans avoir adopté complètement la culture américaine.
Well, The Mountain is not a horror film as such, but some horrible and disturbing things do go on behind Alverson's recreation of post-World War II America and his grainy image. The mild yet damning mystery around Andy's mother's fate unravels slowly as Andy falls in love and slides into oblivion, distant from the world and its troubles. Lavant was surprised when he saw the full film at a screening recently in Paris. He told me Alverson's final cut is actually darker and more realistic than he could have imagined.
Quand j'ai découvert le film en projection privée récemment, j'ai été époustouflé parce qu'il y a une
sorte. I spent about a week in the mountain on the shoot with Rick Alverson, and I was amazed by the result of the film when I saw it in a screening in Paris. It's reserved, austere. Using the image, the grain of the film, he's reconstituted a picture of life in the 1950s. And then there's this story of the young couple. Hannah Gross, who plays my daughter, and the wonderful American actor Ty Sheridan, whose dense acting style reminds me of Marlon Brando. The two young people are profoundly unhappy in their lives. It's extremely shocking for us today. It's unthinkable. But it seems that at the time it was an acceptable way of treating misfit youngsters or depressed people. Puh, there you go. Pierce the ocular canal, scrape out a bit of brain. It sounds revolting, but the guy does it really well. Okay, there were a few deaths along the way. But these two young people have their lobotomies and try to move on in a world of adults which encourages lobotomies. It's not a jolly film. That's why I was so taken aback when I saw it, because on the shoot there was so much imagination. It was so nice being immersed in it for a moment and to be with my eccentric character. And then the film, oh, so admirably made and acted. And then there's something which sort of, oh, disturbs you. Not because of the lobotomy, but because of the destiny of two young people who become less and less expressive and are united in their unhappiness and in the operation they've had, and who are going off together on their own, who knows where. And will they meet the hermaphrodites? Indeed, the father, that's my role, continues to offer the promise of imagination. It's surprising. It's strange.
Le père que je joue, donc c'est étonnant, étrange.
Lavant is established in France both in the cinema and on stage. His international reputation was probably launched, we'd say, by Léos Carax's Lovers on the Bridge of 1991, where Lavant starred as a drug addict who falls in love with a painter losing her sight, played by Juliette Binoche. Everybody knows Juliette Binoche these days. Lavant has continued to work with Carax, 2012 at Cannes, with the festival entry Holy Motors, which also starred Edith Scob and Kylie Minogue. A true character actor, Lavant is at home in front of the camera as he is on stage in front of a live audience and leaps at the chance of artistic uprootings.
Moi, j'adore travailler ailleurs. Être déraciné, plonger dans un autre décor, dans une autre culture.
I love working elsewhere, being uprooted, surrounded by different scenery, a different culture. In the absolute, you are bathed in fabric of language which is incomprehensible. You are sort of isolated inside a musical structure of things going on around you, like when I was working in Tokyo or in Argentina, and I understood nothing. It was wonderful.
On comprend rien et c'est très agréable.
Merci beaucoup, Denis Lavant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Avec plaisir.
Ça tourne. Cinéphile. Guest of the month. Take two.
Known for his love of music and politically biting scenarios, Filipino director Lav Diaz was in Paris as his film The Halt came out in France in July. His latest film takes place 15 years from now and is about the fall of an insane Southeast Asian dictator who plans to unleash a highly contagious killer disease to keep his enemies at bay. And the enemies are, broadly speaking, the people. The Halt, which had its international premiere at the director's fortnight at the Cannes Film Festival this year, could be about any dictator gone mad, not necessarily in Manila or in Kuala Lumpur or Bangkok or Singapore. Lav Diaz says this could happen anywhere in the world. As the gardening dictator becomes increasingly unhinged, the rebel leader Hook, who, as blindness creeps up upon him, becomes convinced that traditional guerrilla warfare is not going to be the game changer. He decides to change course. I asked Diaz to tell us about this particular metaphor along with the film's realities, such as street children in the Philippines and other features of The Halt and his extra long 4 hours 40, rather unorthodox running time.
From a hardcore ideologue to becoming a real human being, where he cares more about the very similitudes of life, like, oh, I don't want to go to big ideas now, I just want to take care of children. The way he sees it, if he goes to that, the little things that can, you know, change bigger things.
So your 4 hour 40 film is not a disaster movie. There's hope at the end.
It's very hopeful in a way. I think it's a very dark film. You don't see light in the film, you know, physically. The darkness is very tactile, but at the same time, people are still fighting. People are still changing their perspectives, you know, the way they experience life day to day.
You mention a figure, 1.2 million street children, you're talking about Manila. Is that a real figure for today?
Yeah.
Not 2034, it's not a forecast.
It was a figure in the 90s in Manila. I worked with a foundation before in the Philippines where we took care of street children. This was in 1997. But then it was 600,000 street kids in Manila, and it became higher in the late 90s. We were able to contain it only around the 2000s, but still we have thousands, hundreds of thousands of street kids, not just in Manila, in other big cities of the Philippines. So it's a very real problem, the issue of neglect and the dysfunction created by these kinds of displacements, you know. Kids growing up in the streets, the slums, and they don't have values to hold on. This is a subculture that eventually will become big cultures, and it will destroy the whole, you know, gamut of society in the Philippines, not just in Manila, the whole Filipino society. It's a very real problem, yeah.
In your film, there's also a part that deals with the church, the priest who's involved in the rebellion.
During the Marcos years, when we were fighting Marcos, so many priests also joined the revolution, along with the communist movement, you know, the liberation theory, where Marxism and religion mix, so that we can have this collective struggle against this dictator.
Is that still the case today?
Yes, yes. The church still has a very strong voice, you know. The Catholic Church still a very strong voice, still part of the big opposition against Duterte now. It's still the voice of the people, you know.
But less communism, perhaps?
The left is so fragmented now. We've been destroyed by infightings and also losing the support of the masses because of some debacles and mistakes during the past. So communism has gone really, really backwards. So it's a very, very protracted struggle now, you know.
In your film, you have a love triangle between three women. Do you find it's less controversial to deal with female homosexuality than male homosexuality?
Yeah, yeah, it's less controversial. But I use those things because I want them to be very more engaged with, you know, the issues of gender now. Like it's 2034, so yeah, people are still very primitive in a way. Even people near us, when you ask them about this, they couldn't accept these things. The issue of gender is still a very, very picky issue to them, you know.
I understand that the idea for this particular film had sprung from a meeting with a wise man.
I was just walking along the shores and during that festival, and this is this old man talking to a lot of people. The village fool, sort of. He's just preaching. And I started shooting him because he was talking about madmen ruling villages. And he's talking a lot of sense. People are like listening. So that, you know, one of the few words of this film, you know, that, you know, we can still fight these things, you know. We need Socratic discourses where you have to go in public, you know, you have to engage outside of your comfort zones, outside of Harvard, outside of Stanford, outside of the big air-conditioned rooms. You go to the streets, you go to the markets, the agora, to be able to engage with the masses. Again, the issue of ignorance. How can you destroy ignorance when you're so imprisoned in your classrooms, you know? Yeah, go outside. That's the engagement now. The new engagement for me is that we need to reach the great mass to be able to, you know, push humanity further against all this abyss, you know, this sinking thing, the darkness.
You prefer long formats, long features. Why is that? What do you like about that?
I find cinema shallow, in a way, the imposed 2.5 hours. I want to work more like a novelist, where you can see the little things, to go deeper, because cinema has that, you know, fast thing where it's all about manipulations of the emotions and perspectives, and you get nothing. I want to work more on, you know, spaces, you know, having, you can actually touch the thing, a corporal experience with the medium. Experience is more you have to struggle also as an engager, as an audience, you know, the so-called audience must also be engaged, not just being entertained or being loved to some, you know, symphonic music. You know, I want that kind of engagement also with cinema, a Socratic way of doing things where you can actually have real discourse, mentally and physically, with the medium, yeah, to see more of the canvas, other than being subordinated only to the action of Tom Cruise, you know. You know, I want you to see the ants and the birds and the trees and the wind, you know. More of that, you know, unifying time and space in one single frame.
Love Diaz, thank you very much for speaking to us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
That's Venice Golden Lion winner of 2016 and 2014 Locarno Golden Leopard winner, Love Diaz, speaking to us here in Paris. Well, we wish Rick Alverson and Love Diaz all the best with their latest films worldwide.
Cinefile. Roslyn Hyams.
On est pas bien là? Hein?